Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the San Francisco 49ers Extra Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono. Brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play, in the home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Coming up, we'll talk to Steve about the 49ers' 24-10 loss in Cleveland. But before we talk to Steve, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. As I was thumbing through Golf Digest, I found that TPC Harding Park is recognized as one of the best places to play in America. And that didn't surprise me too much because I love the majestic layout and beautiful amenities. My San Francisco resident card gives me a great rate at TPC Harding Park, and I get to play where PGA Tour icons Jack Nicklaus, Phil Mickelson, and Tiger Woods have played. Now, if I can only score like them, okay, I'll stop dreaming and get to our guest. And Steve Bono joins us to talk about the loss in Cleveland. And Steve, there have been some ugly losses this year on the road in Pittsburgh and in St. Louis and, of course, in Seattle. And this might be the ugliest just because of who the opponent was. I mean, the Browns came in 2-10. They had lost seven games in a row. Do you feel like, you know, this is kind of the real low point for the 49ers right now? How do you even bounce back from something like that?
Yeah, unfortunately, I think it is a low point. I know we talked last week about, okay, they went and won one on the road where I didn't think they were going to because they weren't taking advantage of opportunities to make a play. And obviously that happened this week as well, maybe even worse. But it was bad. Yeah, it was bad. All offense, defense, special teams. It was ugly.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that's continued throughout the season is the fact that the 49ers offense hasn't been able to move the ball. I mean, even the Bears game, that was kind of more of a last-ditch effort. You know, they came up big at the end. And in this game, really, I mean, Gabbert didn't have much of a chance. He got sacked 9 times, which is tied for the most the 49ers have ever given up. So, I mean, when a quarterback is under siege like that, does it even matter who the quarterback is? I mean, he's mobile enough. It's got to be difficult.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't matter. It could have been Joe, and he would have been Joe Montana. That is
right.
And it wouldn't go. It's not going to matter. you know, when you don't establish the line of scrimmage, you don't get the running game going. You're not given time and to throw the ball. Guys are, you know, dropping the ball on a critical play, or not running the right route on a play where you're the primary guy.
Like Simpson. Simpson did that in this game, yeah.
Exactly. So it wasn't obviously just one person, and wouldn't have mattered who the quarterback was.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned Joe Montana, because he did come out and say that he thought that Blaine Gabbert was a keeper. I mean, we haven't seen a lot of him, but from what you saw before this game, you were impressed with him enough. I mean, do you think he's a keeper?
I definitely think so. Yeah, I definitely think so. He moves around well. I think he's been decisive with the ball. And I think he's been pretty good. I mean, he's working his ass off on Sunday, but he's not getting anywhere.
Right.
You know, there was no other help.
Well, meanwhile, the Browns are trying to decide if Johnny Manziel is a keeper. And, you know, he had a decent game. He was kind of the typical Johnny Manziel running around. There was one mistake where he rolled to his left. He threw across the field. He got picked off pretty easily by Jaquaski Tartt. And after the interception, Manziel was smashing the electronic tablet on his head, you know, the little iPad thing. He was so upset with himself. I mean, it's still a learning process for him. But, you know, how difficult is that for the Browns trying to figure out, you know, these last few weeks? And they have a really tough schedule, actually, the last three games. Whether or not he's going to be their quarterback, do they need to draft a quarterback? I mean, these are always tough decisions.
Yeah, I think that I think Johnny Manziel was allowed to be Johnny Football on Sunday just because they ran the ball so well.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
You know, he could you know, run around. And the one in particular that I think of is he scrambled and was kind of going backwards, like sneaking under people, and nobody blasted him. Like, seriously? I mean, he just was able to do whatever he wanted because they had a great, the running game was going. I mean, what, 230 yards?
230. I mean, it's really hard to figure this out, Steve, because the Browns came in, they were last in the league in rushing. I mean, if you ever expected to stop a team on the ground, this was it. They're averaging 74 rush yards a game. They get 230. And this kind of reminds me of that Seattle game where they're not tackling. I mean, what's going on there?
Yeah. They're you know, obviously guys aren't doing their jobs. I mean, especially up front. You hate to put it on them, but I mean, obviously it's all 11 guys, but those guys up front have got to stiffen up a little more and allow linemen to stay off the linebackers so the linebackers can make the tackle.
And Crowell, I mean, he's not one of the top running backs in the league, but he got 145 yards in this game. He had two big runs too. Those are the ones that kill you: the 54-yarder and a 50-yarder.
And straight up the middle.
Yeah.
I mean, just right through the middle of the line of scrimmage and gone. But again, there's no, you know, that second level, the linebackers, you know, they got linemen on them. They didn't have a chance to make a tackle.
And you can understand why the entire team would be frustrated after a loss like this. But, you know, some of these comments were a little bit strange. I mean, just a little disheartening. Joe Staley saying that, you know, I understand he's saying they have to come in and not worry about records. That's true. But to say that, you know, maybe they took this team for granted, that's what Ahmad Brooks said.
Yeah.
And you know, saying that,
that
he thought that the Browns were a step ahead. I mean, that's really hard to believe. You know, these guys are saying that they're not ready for a team like the Browns. I mean, that's hard to believe.
I have to agree with you. That was disheartening to hear some of those comments in the post game. For somebody to say that you know, they took them lightly. I mean, Ahmad Brooks, I mean, he's been in the league for 5 years. I'm guessing
he's a veteran.
Years.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a veteran guy. I mean, if you're saying that, then to me that means that you didn't prepare at all, and you're sorely mistaken to think that just because they were 2-10 that you could walk in there and win the game. You know, throw your hat out and win. I mean, not in the NFL.
No,
I don't care who you're playing.
And actually, Staley backtracked a little bit because, you know, he's talking about, you know, they can't take anyone lightly, and he was originally saying maybe they did, but he's changing his tune a little bit yesterday. And Jim Tomsula, you know, he disagreed with those comments by the players because he said, you know, all throughout the week they weren't taking the Browns lightly, and he was blaming a lot of it on technique. I mean, is that where you got to blame everything?
I'd like to think that it's, you know, I don't know what's more unnerving, saying that it's technique, and to me then that means that guys aren't focused on the details. I mean, I guess that goes, now that I think about it again, maybe that goes with the whole idea that, okay, we weren't mentally prepared and we didn't pay attention during the week and you know, think about our techniques or work on them. I think it's more mental than physical.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, the mindset too, because Staley was talking about the mindset of
absolutely
playing for one another, which I guess any team that's losing, it becomes more and more difficult to do that. You start thinking about your future, where are you going to be next year, and all that. You can't do that.
And you're worried about yourself, and you're not worried about your teammates.
Right.
You know, and helping them out. I would completely agree with that. And it does go, you know, unfortunately that snowball does get bigger faster going downhill. They're in a tough spot right now, and they need to come together as teammates, as a team, and see if they can pull it together for the last 3 weeks here. I mean, I thought they I thought, or I was hoping that that was going to happen in Cleveland after getting an overtime win in Chicago. Okay, you figured out how to win one on the road, you know, at the end of the game and carry that forward. But no, that didn't show at all on Sunday.
Well, I was looking at this. Every single time the Niners won a game this year, they came back and laid an egg the next week. You know, Minnesota, they won first game. They got crushed by Pittsburgh the next week. They beat Baltimore. They got killed against Seattle. That was at home. They beat Atlanta. Seemed like a pretty good win. They had a bye, and then they lost in Seattle, and that wasn't a good game. And now this. So, I mean, it's weird how they just can't this year build on wins.
Right. They can't maintain, and just what you said, build on success from the week before. And I think that, honestly, I think that goes back to kind of the mental preparation for the game. I mean, obviously they are not obviously, but they should know their techniques on offense and defense at this point in the season, and not really have to think about them during the week. Yes, you're refreshing them and continuing to work on them, but you know, to me, it's more mental that they can't go in there and execute. And again, it's guys not making plays when they have an opportunity to make a play. You know, offensively, I guess I'm talking more offensively. They're guys running the wrong routes when they're the primary receiver. You know, guys, there was a motion penalty. It was a motion penalty on a, God, what was it? Third, it was.
I think it was the patent. You're going to talk about the patent.
It was first and, yeah, the patent one. It was first and 10, and it was going to be another first down, and then instead it's first and 15, and then they get sacked on the next play.
Right.
So now it's second and whatever, 22.
Yeah, Patton sort of took off or got ready to go a little too soon.
I mean, it's just little details like that, and those are small, but you know, as Jerry Burns used to say, you know, not every, if all 11 guys make a mistake, then that's 11 mistakes out of, you know, 60 plays in a game. That's going to hurt us.
Yeah.
But it's when teams are losing, those tiny little things become magnified. You know, go back to, I know I mentioned it last week, the one tip ball in overtime. When Cutler gets tipped and it hits one of our linebackers right in the chest and he drops it, I'm thinking, oh my God, that's why you can't win games.
Yeah.
You know, you're not making a play at a critical situation.
And, right.
And it's the opposite when you're winning. Uh-huh. That you know, the reason you are winning is because people are making those plays at very opportune times.
Right. I mean, you look at the TART interception that I mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing where, I mean, he did some video work. He knew when Manziel was rolling left, he might throw to the right. He anticipated it. I mean, that's the kind of thing you need more of.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's the preparation. And that's the more mental preparation, you know, studying film and being prepared mentally. I mean, at this point in the season, yes, everybody's hit the wall. You're in the fourth quarter of the season. Everybody's tired. The rookies are you know, completely worn out because they're used to their season being finished at this point.
Right.
So, they're wiped out. Veteran guys are tired. But you know, now you get that second wind. And hopefully they can, you know, use some of that momentum and get a few more wins now. But yeah, it sounds to me like it's little lack of mental preparation.
You know, when you get to this point in the season two and you've had a tough year, I think a lot of people start looking at, okay, what do we need to shore up? And it's tough when you have a lot of breakdowns around the team. But if I had to pick one area, I mean, the offensive line, I mean, they've definitely missed having guys like Upati and Davis. And you know, I'm not saying that Kaepernick was always protected, but right from the get-go this year, Kaepernick, and now you see it with Gabbert, they're just not protected, and they're not getting enough big holes for the running game. And yeah, they've missed Carlos Hyde for sure, but right. Drone is a pretty good running back, and it just seems like, you know, offensive line, that's where everything starts. And yeah. I don't want to pin it all on them, but it really has been a struggle.
It has been from the get-go. It's been a struggle. Yeah, and, I mean, they need help. There's no question. I mean, you mentioned the guys that they missed from last year, it's from the get go, it's been a struggle.
But I would think as a quarterback, though, you could never use that as an excuse. I mean,
no, you can't,
right?
No. I wouldn't expect Blaine Gabbert to do that. I don't think he's done that. But it's a serious uphill battle because. I mean, it's hard enough to play the position when you have protection. It gets a little bit harder when your running game isn't as good as it should be, and it gets exponentially harder when your offensive line can't protect for you. You know, because now you're watching those guys instead of watching downfield.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, now the Bengals come into town, and this past Sunday, Steve, I was in Cincinnati covering the Bengals game, and that team took a huge hit in losing Andy Dalton. They lost the game to Pittsburgh. Now they're not in a top spot for the bye anymore, and no more Andy Dalton, it looks like, for the rest of the regular season anyway. I mean, he's got a broken thumb, and they're going to count on A.J. McCarron, who made some good plays, but he also threw a pick six. I don't know if you saw the highlight of that. So you've got a young quarterback in there. I mean, what do you think the Bengals' strategy is going to be with him? Do they try not to take too many chances?
They'll throw the ball 10 times max.
You think so?
I mean, when we just gave up 230 yards and we gave up about 250 or 240 to Seattle,
right.
I would think they're going to come in here and just pound the rock.
They've got Hill and Bernard, and those are pretty good running backs,
but
they've got a really good passing game when they have
a
quarterback who could throw to A.J. Green and those guys. But Eifert actually had a concussion, so I'm not sure what his status is.
Yeah, that I saw the highlight of Dalton. That was insult. That was injury to insult after the. I'm going to say that backwards because the insult was the interception on a shovel pass, which I've never seen.
Oh, wow. That was weird.
And then, unfortunately, he breaks his thumb making a tackle. I mean.
Yeah. And then that pick six by McCarron, we've seen that happen. But that's kind of – I don't know if you ever threw one like that. That's got to be the worst feeling in the world the minute it leaves your hand. And you just know.
Yeah.
William Gay was on the interception there. You just know he's going to pick it, and he's going to be gone. There's nobody there.
Yeah. It was ugly. Yeah, it was ugly. You hate to see that for a young guy, you know. I think this is, his second year, McCarron?
I think this is the first time he's getting any playing time.
This is the first time he's ever played. So, I mean, people are moving 100 miles an hour right now in front of him.
Right.
I mean, even though he played at Alabama and played in big games and against good teams in the SEC, but, I mean, yeah, it's exponentially faster now.
What about being the guy who takes over like that? I mean, in the middle of the game, for one thing, and that was a big game. But then, you know, you do have a week to prepare for this one, but you've been preparing as the backup. We talked about that a little bit with Gabbert.
Yeah,
now
yeah.
It's different.
It is different. I mean, you're now the guy. Hopefully somebody has taught him well how to, you know, how to study, how to watch film, how to be prepared mentally, and just, you know, talking to him, being able to kind of keep him going throughout the game, you can't get too high and you can't get too low. You just kind of have to grind through this.
I'll tell you, he has a lot of confidence, though, because I did hear him compare himself to Tom Brady, and that Brady, you know, wasn't the starter, and then, you know, got a chance.
Oh, I did hear that.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, okay, you're going to be the next Tom Brady. I get it. Okay.
I mean, hey, good. I mean, you've got to have the confidence, but I'm not so sure there's a whole lot of those scenarios.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, obviously, we know, whatever, 15 years later, that yes, Tom Brady is a Hall of Famer. But if somebody would have said when he replaced Drew Bledsoe that he was a Hall of Famer, I would have said you're nuts.
Exactly.
But you know, obviously he did good things from the get-go, and you know, the rest is history. But I mean, McCarron, yeah, you have to have that confidence, and hopefully it doesn't show up this week, but we'll allow it to show up another week.
Yeah, exactly. Well, big game for the Bengals for sure, for the bye, to try to get the bye, and for the 49ers to try to mend after that loss in Cleveland.
Yeah, and see if, I mean, you know, see if you can win a few games at the end of the season and finish strong.
All right, Steve. Well, thanks a lot for today. Look forward to next week talking about the game against the Bengals.
Sounds good.
That's former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono. And as we said, we'll talk about the 49ers home game against the Bengals next Tuesday. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to San Francisco 49ers Extra.